Okay, bear with me, because the interview today is not in a noisy airport lounge, which is where I am recording this introduction from. It's also eclipse day, and I'm missing it because I've been trying to get home since 5:30 this morning, and it's been one delay after another, but the silver lining is that they could have found the maintenance issue when I was in the air. Not a good thing, so I just choose to see it as protection. But anyway, today's podcast is fascinating. If you deal with osteoporosis, osteopenia, or maybe it's in your family history, maybe it's something that's looming over you, you are going to be so encouraged by my guest today, because guess what? There is so much hope in store for you. So lace up your cute pair of tennis shoes, get on your walk, and let's just dive into this amazing information. Some of it, I have a feeling it's going to be the first time you've ever heard it. Are you ready? Here we go. Hey, baby girl, do you wish that perimenopause wasn't creating a body you no longer recognize? Are you going through hormonal changes that make it hard to lose weight? Do you feel like aging rapidly is depleting your energy stores? Is overwhelm zapping your motivation to create a routine? I'm so excited you're here. This podcast will help you boost your energy, feel more confident, and understand how to work with your shifting hormones so you can lose frustrating belly fat while aging healthier. Hi, I'm Lisa Liu, a mom, wife, dancer, and total Jesus lover. I was on the perimenopause struggle bus for 11 years. I worked out way too hard and ate way too little and became completely discouraged when I wasn't seeing results. I finally realized that if I was going to make progress, I had to ditch what no longer worked and incorporate more effective strategies for my changing hormones. I created a plan that simplified how I approached my health, providing me more freedom in less time and with better results. And I'm here to share it with you. If you're ready to incorporate simple strategies for perimenopause or menopause that actually work, solutions to ditching belly fat without massive restrictions or spending hours a day in the gym, rock solid results like increased confidence, balanced hormones, and more energy, a smaller waistline, more strength, and the knowledge to age well all through a faith-forward approach that honors God, then this podcast is for you. Throw on your cutest pair of tennis shoes and let's get ready to challenge the status quo on aging. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, I am in a noisy airport lounge. Let me just give you the lowdown real quick. This has been a really interesting day. So I came to visit my friend Nikki. She lives about 40 minutes from Savannah, Georgia. Flew into Savannah. Anyway, got at the airport this morning, 5:30, I think. Plenty of time for a 7 a.m. flight out. Got delayed 3 hours, got delayed another 3 hours, got delayed another 45 minutes, which meant I was missing my connecting. All of that to say, had to go to another airport, and now I'm at another layover for 7 hours, and it's eclipse day. It's just been insane. But I want to give a proper introduction to this amazing gentleman that I interviewed, and you're just going to love this. And the interview is not from a noisy airport lounge, so hang with me. It's going to be really good sound here in just a minute. But before we dive into today's episode, I just want to remind you, look, if things are no longer working for you, and if you are just completely overwhelmed, you don't recognize your body anymore, what used to work is no longer working, if you're struggling to lose weight, if you're low on energy, if you need more confidence and a really simple roadmap, I want you to go to lisaluefitness.com/FFAB. That stands for Faith Forward Age Backward. So it's two F's, lisaluefitness.com/FFAB, to check out how me and my team can begin helping you starting today. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Kevin Ellis. He is better known as the Bone Coach. He is a Forbes featured integrative health coach, podcaster, and is the founder of BoneCoach.com. Through a unique three-step process and a world-class coaching program called the Stronger Bones Solution, he and his team have helped thousands of people with osteopenia and osteoporosis in over 1,500 cities around the world get confident in their Stronger Bones plan. His mission is to help millions of people with osteoporosis build stronger bones and to help our children and grandchildren create a strong and healthy foundation so they can lead long, active lives. All right, you ready? Here we go. Let's get into today's interview.
Ladies, you are in for such an amazing treat today because I have just an incredible gentleman on with us today who I just got done telling him when we were talking that I've been more excited about this interview than I have about many others for a long time, simply because I know this is such practical and actionable advice that you're going to get today, especially if you fear or have been told you have osteoporosis or osteopenia and you just don't know what to do from here. So we are going to dive right in, and this is going to be a really, really fun show. I highly encourage you to grab a pen or a piece of paper. You know, I always tell you to grab your tennis shoes and go for a walk. Today, you're going to want to take notes. So don't text and walk. All right. So here we go. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful for your time.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. I mean, this is such an important topic. We're talking about our bones, our skeleton, strengthening them so we can preserve our future. And I think it's so important. So I really appreciate you bringing light to this with your audience.
Absolutely. And Kevin, you are known as the bone coach. If you're seeing us on video right now, you see that on his shirt. If not, that's like big and bold on his shirt. Tell us a little bit about why. Why are you called the bone coach?
Well, I will say that my own journey with coaching people on how to build stronger bones started with my own health journey, which is, for most of us in the health space, a lot of us had our own personal stories and journeys, and we wanted to go on to educate and empower other people and move them from a place of fear and worry and overwhelm to education, empowerment, and confidence. And that's very much the same for me. And when I came out of the Marine Corps, I had a lot of different health issues. I had chronic digestive issues. I was diagnosed with celiac disease. For those who do not know, celiac disease is an autoimmune condition where, when you ingest gluten, the villi in your small intestine, these tiny little nutrient absorption centers, I like to call them the roots in your soil, those roots become damaged and blunted to where they can't do their job and they can't absorb the nutrients that you need. One of the most important nutrients you need to preserve and strengthen your skeleton is calcium. And for me, I wasn't able to absorb the calcium I was taking in and some of the other really important nutrients, but my body still needed those nutrients to execute its daily functions. You need calcium for muscle contractions, for nerve impulses, and a variety of other things. And if you're not absorbing it, your body will go to its largest reserve of minerals, your bones, and it will pull from there. And that is exactly what happened to me and why I had bone loss and was diagnosed with osteoporosis right around 30 years old. And for me, a younger male, being a Marine, someone who's like, my bones are fine. I'm sure they'll be fine. To get this diagnosis, it was the absolute antithesis of how I viewed myself and my identity. And I realized I had to do something. I didn't want to be, I grew up, my father passed away at a young age. I didn't want to leave my kids in that same position. And I had a really strong impetus for making improvement. So I did a lot of reading, the research, consulting with people, figuring things out, building out a plan, taking the same energy and enthusiasm I had and put into the Marine Corps. And I was like, I can help a lot of people in the health and wellness space. So I became a health coach. I built out a team, which has grown to 28 people of credentialed experts now. And we've got a couple hundred thousand people in our community and have had over 10,000 people come through our Stronger Bones programs at this point. So it's been a great journey. I've really enjoyed it, and I love helping and serving the people that need it the most.
That's incredible. And I love what you said about, oftentimes it's our own issues that lead us to our ultimate purpose here on this planet, right? Like, this is what I was created to do. And who better than someone who at 30 years old, I mean, tell us a little bit, when you got that diagnosis, were you broken down? Were you frail and brittle? I mean, I'm assuming if you had just come out of the Marine Corps, that's the antithesis of the way you looked and felt.
Yeah, it really affects the psyche and the way you think about your entire view of the world changes. And I can say this because I've been in that position. The person who was diagnosed initially, and I got a letter in the mail. It wasn't even, nobody called me, nobody sent me anything. They sent me a letter in the mail that says, "You have osteoporosis, go on a gluten-free diet."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm not sure I really understand this. I'd heard of osteoporosis. I used to work in a retirement home when I was younger. And I knew that it could lead to fractures, but I didn't really understand it. And then I Googled it, and it basically said that fractures and medication dependence were my future.
Wow.
So I just felt the blood kind of drain from my face. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what do I even do here? I went and I got a second opinion, and I went and I got a scan at a hospital, and they confirmed you do in fact have osteoporosis. And I remember when I walked out of that hospital, everything looked different to me. I was looking at the curbs and the sidewalks. I even carefully sat down in my driver's seat for the first time in my life, because I was intentionally thinking about trying not to fracture the vertebrae in my spine.
Wow.
It was at that level that I know this can affect people. But part of the reason I felt that way is because I didn't have all the information. Some of that information I'm going to share with you today, but I didn't have all of that information. And that was creating the fear, the worry, the overwhelm, the uncertainty. And once I started getting that education, that empowerment, that confidence, building that momentum, I started to slowly come out of that place, eventually to where I was leading an active life, making progress. And now I wouldn't call it a normal life. I'm probably more active than most people, I would say. But I love sharing this message because people don't have to live in fear and overwhelm.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is this isn't a death sentence, and it doesn't have to dictate your future. So tell me, what is the connection? Because we've got mostly over 40 women that are here, and so many are hearing and earlier in life that they have osteoporosis or osteopenia. Can you tell me the connection between bone health and women over 40 being able to age confidently, independently, and actively?
Absolutely. So this is most women who get this diagnosis of osteopenia and osteoporosis, most aren't getting it until later. Part of the reason is that insurance may not cover a bone density scan until later. Your doctor may not actually be investigating this or concerned about it, or they may just brush it off and say, oh, you know, bone loss is going to happen. It's a natural part of aging. We'll just monitor it and put you on a medication once you reach osteoporosis or osteopenia. I've heard that all the time, but it doesn't have to be that way. So I would say right around the time you turn 30 is when you're reaching peak bone mass. And up until that point, 0 to 18, you're putting on 90% of your bone mass in that time. So when you're really young, that is really when you're building that strong, healthy foundation. So if you're listening to this and you've got kids or grandkids and you're trying to think about how do you set them up for a really active future, do the right things for their bones and their skeletons early on, because it could add another 10, 20, 30 years to the end of their life. And those years could be better quality years. So how do you do that? Well, you got to pay attention to the diet and nutrition too. If your kids are eating, or your kids or grandkids at this point too, even if they're eating sugary snacks and drinking a bunch of soft drinks, we need to make healthier, better swaps for those things. And we need to make sure they're getting the nutrients that they need too. The calcium, vitamin D, vitamin K2, vitamin C, getting enough protein, all of those things are really important from a young age. Making sure people are, you know, if you weren't really active when you were younger, if you led a sedentary lifestyle, if you weren't playing sports or doing gymnastics or moving your body and your bones in these short, sharp, dynamic movements, stimulating new bone growth, then that could have been a reason why you won't reach peak bone mass in your younger years. If you took certain medications, prednisone, glucocorticoids, if you had an eating disorder, if you smoked or drank excessively, all of those things can affect you reaching peak bone mass, but right about the time you hit 30 years old. That is the time when I encourage people, if you can get an objective measurement, 30 to 40, if you're listening to this, you're right. Like if you've got a daughter maybe, or a son even, who's younger than you at this, or who's younger at this point, tell them to get that objective piece of information. Have them get a bone density scan, see where their bones are at. And that way you have a data point from which to monitor future changes. So that is a really important piece of advice I can give, is start with the objective data, know where you're at, and then work on doing all the things I'm going to share with you today about diet, nutrition, about exercise, all those other pieces start incorporating those things. And that's what's going to set you up for that active, healthy future.
Okay. No, that's amazing. I want to talk just a moment about bone density scan. So the ladies that are listening, if they're like, well, if my doctor isn't even going to look at this until I'm 60, 65, in some cases, how do I advocate for myself? What, how do I go get a bone scan? Where do I go get a bone scan? What is the conversation they need to enter in with their physician so that they can advocate for themselves?
Great question. Well, so let me start with an example of a situation where someone would probably not diagnose a young male with, with osteoporosis. I was a perfect example of that. The reason why someone ran a bone density scan on me, it wasn't even all the doctors I was working with. It was a physician's assistant who said, hey, you have celiac disease. You have this chronic digestive issue and autoimmune condition. We should probably run a bone density scan on you. So if you're listening to this and you have chronic digestive issues, IBS for years and years, can't figure it out, you've had celiac disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, that is a great reason to go to your doctor and say, I'm really concerned about nutrient absorption. I know my bones need calcium and other nutrients. I'd really like to get a bone density scan. That's how you open that conversation for that specific circumstance. Primary osteoporosis occurs as a result of, mostly because of the decrease in estrogen in postmenopausal women. Estrogen has a protective effect on bone. When those levels decrease, as they do during menopause, that causes an increase in the activity level of cells that break down bone. And with that comes bone loss and can lead to osteopenia and osteoporosis. So right around that time, there's justification to go in and say, hey, look, I know what's happening right now is my estrogen is declining. If you're not on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, I know my estrogen is declining. I know the activity level of cells that break down bone, that's going up. I think we should do a bone scan. I need a baseline, right? Ooh. Can you help me get that objective data? Having that dialogue can be really helpful. And then there are other conditions, secondary conditions of that cause osteoporosis and bone loss. I just talked about one of them, which was chronic digestive issues, but there are others that can contribute to bone loss too. Behaviors, disorders, diseases, conditions, medications. If you are taking prednisone, for example, or you took it in the past, that's a great justification to go into your doctor and say, hey, look, I know prednisone causes bone loss, and I took it for X amount of time. Can you help me get a bone density scan? I know I'm a little bit younger than that, or I know it may not be the right time according to the conventional system, but can you help me? I think something's up here and I'd like to check it out. So just have that conversation and you have the right to say, yeah, no, I really would like that. And if they don't want to order it for you, go to an external radiology group and try to find one of those in your area. You can do that. And there are ways to get your bone density screening and scans done too.
Okay. So ladies, I want you to absorb this information. And this is why I told you you need a pen and a piece of paper. And, you know, I'm all about shaking hands with information first, meaning you read a book for the first time, then you go back and read it again for mastery and again and again. Same thing here. If you're out on a walk, I want you to just listen, shake hands with this information. But I really want you to go back and absorb what Kevin is saying. Basically, you are your own health advocate. Your doctor is for you, but his hands may be tied or he's not used to people asking him questions based on knowledge they've been given. And so don't be afraid to push back a little bit with this information. Or like Kevin said, if they're just resistant, I just took notes as you were talking, Kevin, go find an external radiology group. I've never even necessarily heard those words, external radiology group. So this is, remember ladies, knowledge is not power. Action is power. Knowledge is just knowledge, right? So you have got to arm yourself with this information so that if you were to hear that you have one of these things, or preferably before you hear, right, Kevin? Because wouldn't you agree if we could start preventing things right now or catch things very early, even though it may never be too late, or maybe it is. Am I wrong? Is it ever too late?
No, it's not. You can build bone strength at any age, but it becomes more challenging as you get older. There are fewer cells involved in the process. The process becomes less efficient. So being on the side of prevention rather than reaction is much, much better. There's, I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Right? Now, when he said that, he was talking about fire safety, but I think it really applies to health. But we see this all the time, right? And with osteopenia and osteoporosis. Now, I do want to touch on a few things relating to the bone density part of the picture.
Please.
Because bone density does not give you the whole picture. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about bone density, the way you find out the status of your bone density is through a bone density scan, a DEXA scan, dual energy X-ray absorptiometry, painless test, kind of like an X-ray, very low levels of radiation though. You lay down on the machine, does a scan, tells you your bone mineral density, then it generates a score. Plus one or minus one is going to be considered normal and healthy. Minus one to minus 2.5 is considered osteopenia. That's like a precursor to osteoporosis. We would call that low bone mass. And minus 2.5 or lower, minus 2.6, minus 2.7, so on and so forth, that's considered osteoporosis. Now, I already told you, get that objective data, figure out where you are, but also understand it's not the full picture. Bone density tells you the actual mineral content of your bone. Bone quality tells you the structural integrity of your bone, the microarchitecture, how that bone is organized. Those two things combine to create bone strength. So oftentimes, if you only have bone density, you only have part of the picture. So the way you can find out the bone quality part of the picture is before you go to that doctor's office or whatever place you're going to go get a bone density scan from, you can ask them, call ahead and say, do you have TBS capability, which is trabecular bone score capability? And that can help you get the bone quality part of the picture. So TBS is like an add-on software to the bone density scan. And if they have it, you can get all of that information in one visit. There is another technology that is more prevalent in Europe. It's making its way in the US now, but it is, it's called Echolight. That's the device that uses the technology called REMS, radio frequency, echographic, multispectrometry technology. That's a mouthful, but that can also give you, it's an ultrasound that can give you bone density, bone quality, and a 5-year fragility score. So there are ways to find out a more full picture of your bones. And the last part of this to really understand where your bones are at right now is understand that in that conversation with your doctor, if you've only had one bone density scan and you get told you have osteoporosis, take calcium, vitamin D, go for a walk, here's your bone drug, we'll see you in 2 years. Just know there is more to it than that. And you don't know right at that time if you're still actively losing bone right now. Okay, so the bone density scan, the DEXA scan, it's a point in time. It's a single snapshot and it's telling you this is where your bones are at, but you don't actually know if you're still actively losing if you've only had one of them, right? So how do you know if you're actively losing bone? There are these markers called bone turnover markers. And these look at the activity level of cells that are breaking down and building up your bones. And if the activity level is elevated or even really high, especially for one of them called serum CTX, that can be an indicator of active bone loss and a root cause issue that needs to be addressed. Yeah. And what we don't want to do is just make an assumption that the root cause issue is just hormones, because there could be another cause. Could be those chronic digestive issues, could be an absorption problem, could be a medication that you're taking. So what we like to do is go in and figure out, is the bone loss actively taking place right now? What's contributing to it? How do we address that? And how do we bring that bone loss down?
Okay. That was super comprehensive and really, really exciting to know that we've got this information now in our hands so that we can enter into, well-informed conversation with our physician and then understand too that what they tell us, should we hear osteopenia and osteoporosis, by the way, thank you for for breaking down what the two of those works. That was going to be my next question. But if they say do X, Y, and Z, there may be more to it than that. And you don't know if you don't know. So I'm so thankful you told us about that. Let's go ahead and shift into now what. I've just gotten a diagnosis, let's say, of osteoporosis, because this is what I hear women tell me all the time. And Kevin, I think I mentioned this before we hit record today, is that I can't tell you how many women will come in on and say on one of my reels, or maybe it's somebody new that I start working with as a client, and they'll say, well, I was diagnosed with osteoporosis, so all I'm doing is walking. I'm afraid to do anything else. Much like what you said, you saw the world so differently and kind of everything became, a potential doom to your bone structure. And so it makes sense that women would feel the same way, especially them not being 30 right out of the military, right? We're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and we get this diagnosis. Now what? What should we do?
Yeah. So the first thing you have to start with is that identifying if there is still bone loss and what are those root causes contributing to it. And again, we do not want to make assumptions. And you may get that resistance in that conversation with your physician. We're just brushing it off. Oh, you know, it's a natural part of aging. It's going to happen. You know, take this medication. No, we probably need to investigate a little bit further. Are there other things going on? Are we actively losing bone? What are the root cause issues contributing to that? And then how do we go about addressing those things? You can work with your doctor, get it covered by insurance, go through your conventional physician if you want. But sometimes you may have a challenge with that. We provide resources to people in our programs to help with those conversations, but you could go to another physician, an integrative physician, a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine practitioner, someone who may be a little more open to exploring some of the other tests that are outside of the conventional model. Just know that when you go into the conventional medical model, it's driven by insurance and it's not designed to help you achieve your best possible health outcome, right? There are limitations within that system. And most doctors that are conventional in the conventional side, they may be well-intentioned. And of course, they want to see their patients get better. It's not like they don't want that. Most people go into the health field or the medical field because they genuinely want to help people. But once you're in that system, it just becomes really challenging. And we have medical doctors that acknowledge that. They refer their patients to us because they acknowledge the gaps in the system. So you have to start there with identifying and addressing those root causes.
Okay, let's talk about foods. Let's shift over to nutrition a little bit. So what specific foods can be a helpful addition to a bone health plan? What can we do nutritionally?
Great question. I think the standard recommendation should be anti-inflammatory diet. I mean, most people listening to this are probably trying to follow less processed packaged foods, more whole natural foods, like not a lot of processed sugar, all the things that you've heard before about that, that all still applies to your bone health. So just check that as a box, anti-inflammatory. Now, we also need to prioritize protein intake and focus on getting good, healthy protein. Why do you need protein for your bones? Well, your bones are 50% protein by volume. They are a collagen protein matrix with these minerals kind of laced into it. So you need the steady stream of amino acids to be able to not just maintain that structure, but also if you want to build a stronger, healthier structure. Mm-hmm. What else is protein helpful for? Building stronger muscles. There's a tight connection between muscle and bone. When muscle pulls on bone, there's this mechanical signal that sends a chemical signal to tell the bones to become stronger, right? So you need good, healthy muscle too. And one of the ways you do that is by getting adequate protein intake. So you want to prioritize that, getting 30 to 50 grams somewhere in there. I don't know, for everybody in the audience, it's going to vary. There's going to be some slight variation, but if you have a general target to move toward and you're not, you know, nobody should be sitting there with a scale, you know, trying to measure every single meal, I don't think. But if you get it close, that's probably going to be really good for you. One of the favorite sources I have for protein, which can be a little hard for people initially starting it off, but if you find some good, we've created some good recipes around it, are sardines, mackerel, wild sockeye salmon with the bones still in. So you would get them in a can and you would get a BPA-free can. And if you get the sardines and the mackerel or the wild sockeye salmon that still have the bones in, the bones are not hard and pokey. They're not going to hurt your mouth. And those bones have all the minerals in the right ratios that nature put them in that your own bones need. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to get additional food-based source of calcium, especially if you're on an anti-inflammatory dietary approach. So I love sardines, mackerel, salmon for that. And then also they have protein. We just talked about the importance of that. And they also have omega-3s. Now, omega-3s are the dampeners of inflammation. So anything that contributes to inflammation, especially chronic or long-term, that's not going to be good for your bones or your health. So those omega-3s can really help with that. One other really good source of food-based calcium that I like, that is a non-dairy source, is arugula. And arugula is a cruciferous, same cruciferous family of vegetables as broccoli and kale. It's a rich source of vitamin C, vitamin K, and bioavailable calcium. So if you were to go to the store and you were to pick up a bag of spinach, let's say, and it says that the calcium content in spinach is really high. Well, that calcium also has, there's also oxalate in spinach. Oxalate is an anti-nutrient that can bind up those bone healthy minerals and prevent you from absorbing them. Arugula is a very low oxalate grain with a higher calcium content. So if you have chronic digestive issues, if you have a history of kidney stones, if you got a lot of joint pain, try to swap something like spinach for arugula, and that could be really helpful for you. So those are a couple initial foods, but there are some other ones too.
Okay. And we're going to talk about how they can learn more about some of the other foods here in just a few minutes, but I just want to touch on a couple things that you said. First of all, protein and strength training, things that we talk about here all the time. And Kevin, what I tell ladies is we're shooting for a minimum of 30 grams per meal. And that is because so many women are eating 30 to 50 grams a day, and 30 grams per meal can be a really big bump if that's not something you're used to. So that's what I really like to tell women. I feel like that's a really good starting place as our minimum, right? As our minimum. And as we get older, we do not digest and break down protein like we used to. So we need a little bit more. So I love that. And the reason I love that you mentioned that and how our muscle health is so important and how protein plays a role there is how integrative our bodies truly are. What's good for the muscles is good for the bones, is good for the brain, is good for the digestion. You mentioned anti-inflammatory diet. You mentioned omega-3 fatty acids. Like, we know that all these things work together. And what I want you to take from this, ladies, is that I think overwhelm, Kevin, I know for a fact, because I did some market research recently, and overwhelm, the word kept coming up over and over and over again. And it's one of the things I try so hard to help. And it's just to remove the overwhelm, to simplify things. And what I want to say, because I have a couple more questions before we go, and then I want to get to your masterclass and how they can join that. But it's that don't compartmentalize, ladies, your health. Well, I have to go do this for my bones, and I have to go do this for my muscles, and I have to go do this for my brain. There are some nuances in each category, but honestly, it really all works together. And that anti-inflammatory diet that Kevin just talked about, that we talk about all the time on here, what that's going to do to serve you in every single area, plus your strength training, which is also injury prevention, right? It's all huge and it all works together. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of those things, Kevin, because it's just like a big exclamation point on so many of the things we talk about. Where I want to go now is that sometimes it feels like the messages we receive from our healthcare team are that osteoporosis is a natural part of aging, which you mentioned just a moment ago. Can you help women that are fearful? Maybe they're listening and they're like, I'm just kind of scared that this is going to be my diagnosis. We just talked about some things nutritionally. What else can we proactively do to either prevent that diagnosis, which would be ideal, or maybe we're in the early stages, whether we know it or not, and we want to improve our health further. There's some things exercise wise, other than maybe just strength training we can do? What would you suggest?
Absolutely. So we talked about figuring out root causes. We talked about diet and nutrition. There are other important nutrients that you got to make sure you get: the calcium, the vitamin D, the vitamin C, the magnesium, vitamin K2, all those. Those are all super important. You got to prioritize that protein intake. Just like you said, if you're aiming for 30 grams of protein and you feel like that's hard for you, add in a protein powder too, right? Yeah. That can be really, really helpful to help you meet those goals. And if you're somebody who's got a history of cancer, you got kidney issues, or you're trying to deal with some other health issues too, essential amino acids can be a great additional thing to incorporate to help you get those additional amino acids. So, and then in terms of the other things that we can add in, exercise, right? Now, you can take in all the nutrients you want, and you can have good gut health and actually be absorbing those nutrients. But if you do not provide the stimulus that your bones need to become stronger, they will not become stronger. So we have to provide the proper stimulus. Most people, when they are diagnosed, I had said it before, take calcium, take vitamin D, go for a walk, take your bone drug. We'll see you in 2 years for your next bone density scan. Woefully inadequate. There's so much more. And walking is not enough. It's absolutely not. Think about it. When you are out walking, you're walking in the same pattern, one directional pattern, over and over and over and over again. And you're only working of the lower half of your body. There's minimal impact there. And you're only working the lower part of your body. One area that people do fracture sometimes is their forearm. What impact is being had on those forearms? What engagement with the exercise is the forearm having? Zero. Your upper body is not really being engaged as you're walking. So it's not enough. And there are different types of stimuli that your bones need to become stronger. You need, I said, muscle pulling on bone, and you need impact. The most effective interventions are using one or both of those things in combination. So you need weight-bearing exercise and you need resistance training. Let's talk about what each of those are. Weight-bearing exercise, that's where your body and your bones are working against gravity to keep you upright. They are things you're doing on your feet. They're placing good, healthy stress on the bones. And this would be your walking, your jogging, your hiking, your gardening, you're playing pickleball, you're playing with the kids, the grandkids outside in the yard, or you're doing yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, Qigong. Right? All of those are considered weight-bearing exercise. If you're doing those, keep doing them. Okay, that's great. Also be aware of what is non-weight-bearing. Swimming and cycling fall into this category, and especially swimming. So it's not to say that swimming is bad or that you shouldn't go swimming. If you enjoy it, it makes you happy, you like to do it with the family, it reduces your stress, keep doing it. That's great. But do not swim laps 5 days out of the week. Get out of the pool and say, I did my exercise, I'm good. Because you didn't provide the stimulus that you need. This is the same thing astronauts deal with when they go up into space, is they don't have gravity where they're working against, and they will lose bone mass very quickly. Same thing with muscle too. So if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So you have to. So you got to provide that stimulus. So how do we add in the next form of exercise? That's resistance training and muscle strengthening exercise. And this is where you're bringing in maybe the barbells, the dumbbells, maybe it's the machines at the gym, if that's where your comfort level is at. I like variable resistance bands. I think those are great. So incorporating these things and then doing, at least making sure you're incorporating some of those foundational movements in your exercise plan. Squats are great. Single leg squats are great. Deadlifts, those are another great one. I know that sounds intimidating for some people. If you haven't ever done deadlifts before, or this is the first time you're hearing it, I would assume there are some people that have at least heard of it, but you don't have to start with really high weight from the beginning. Because if you go look up deadlifts on the internet, you're going to see people lifting really heavy weight, and that can be intimidating, I know, but you don't have to start there. Start where you're comfortable. Start where you can have good form. Have somebody look at your body mechanics. Slowly progress up to where you're providing the stimulus you need to build that muscle and bone strength. The 5 to 10 repetition range is a great range to be in, but you're not going to probably start there, right? You got to start where you can have good form and really get that down. Because the last thing we want is an injury. We don't want injuries, because those can really just set us back. So And then one other exercise I like to incorporate, overhead presses. Those can be great if as long as you don't have a vertebral fracture too. So those can be some great additions. And then, it's impact, some impact too. So you had mentioned, you and I had talked about this before, jump training too. It can be, it can be great to incorporate some of these additional impacts, especially if somebody doesn't already have really poor bone quality or have a history of fractures or something like that. You can incorporate those things into your plan and have that be a working part of your exercise routine.
I want to follow up on that real quick, because one of my passions, so I loved roller skate. I dance, I go to the trampoline park with my friends. Like, we leave the kids at home. Like, it just, I love that kind of stuff. And the trampoline park is so much fun and it's really good rebounding. It's great for lymphatic drainage. What would you say to somebody who's like, what about trampoline for bone density? Because there's really not an impact with a trampoline because of how it absorbs your weight. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, great question. So for rebounding, it's not going to be your number one best tool to help improve your bone density. It has a lot of other benefits. You just circled around some of those other benefits that it has. And those things can indirectly have an impact, a positive impact on bone health. But the best things to do are focus on getting those core movements down, getting that exercise plan in place, maybe incorporating some osteogenic loading. And then you can add in these complementary technologies, the vibration plates, the rebounding, those kinds of things. You can add those things in later on. And they can be helpful additions, but those aren't going to be the primary thing that's going to really drive your bone density and your bone quality up.
But they sure are fun. Dang it. Okay. I love I've that. Thank
one.
You.
I have one in my house. My kids jump on. I encourage them. We do little dance games in the morning too. Like, I love it. I love adding that in. I would just say it's not the number one thing that you want to incorporate.
Right. Totally. No, I love that. I know we're up against time and I want to make sure we get to your masterclass. Can you tell us a little bit? You alluded to recipes and support. Like, how can women now come where they're like, whoa, I want to know more. I want to be preemptive, or I got this diagnosis and I really want to dive in and understand what this looks like for me. Tell us a little bit about your masterclass, Kevin.
Yeah. So the masterclass, Free Stronger Bones Masterclass, we're going to give you access to it. And it comes with a free bone healthy recipes guide too. So you get some great recipes, but the masterclass itself is the person that says, hey, look, I know I need to preserve and strengthen my bone structure. Maybe I have a mother or grandmother who had some fractures, or I don't want to see my health progress in that direction. And I just want to make the right decisions for my bone health. If you hear that and you're like, yes, that's me, you're going to want to watch this masterclass. It's going to walk through the three-step process in more detail. It's going to really help you uncover the critical missing pieces in your plan and all the things that you need to be aware of. And it's in a very logical, step-by-step, easy to follow format. So if we can link to that in the show notes, or I think this would be a great resource for people. So go to the Stronger Bones Masterclass in the show notes, get the free bone healthy recipes guide, watch it, get educated, be empowered. And then the good thing is you can learn for you. And once you learn for you, you can then become the shepherd for other people in your lives too, which is so important.
Amazing. And look, ladies, it will be linked up in the show notes, but also if you forget to go to the show notes, we got a pretty link for it. It's lisaloufitness.com/bones. lisaloufitness.com/bones. It's going to take you directly there. Kevin, also real quick before we go, how else can they connect with you? What's the best way to get connected with you?
Well, the masterclass is great. So make sure you do the masterclass first, but you can always find me at bonecoach.com. That is, we've got a ton of resources there as well. And, you know, we have the ability to apply for our programs there also. So if you're already somebody who says, hey, I know I've got osteoporosis, I need to do something, sign up for the masterclass first, apply for the programs after that.
Perfect. Perfect. You can also be found on Instagram as well, correct?
Yep. Instagram, podcast, Facebook, all the different social channels. You just find at Bone Coach and we're there.
So. Amazing. Amazing. Kevin, I cannot thank you enough for your time, for your expertise, and just for what you're doing to get this word out, because it is so anti-conventional and it's so anti what we're used to hearing. And I'm so excited about all the changes and the advocacy women are going to have for themselves because of what you're doing. So thank you. Thank you so much again.
And thank you for having me. And thanks everyone for listening. And last thing I would say for everybody would be, you don't know have to know where every step is placed day one. You just need to know where you want your path to lead and just focus on that. Keep moving forward and you can do it.
That's amazing. Hey, ladies, go check out that masterclass, please. LisaLuFitness.com/bones. And look, if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you would take 30 seconds, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Make sure to go give Kevin some love as well on his podcast. Thank him for what he's doing on Instagram and sign up for that masterclass. Thank you so much for being here. I love you all dearly. And I will see you again on our next episode.
Thank you so much for being here with me. Every episode, I feel like I'm sitting with my BFF. And one of the ways that you can let me know that you find value in this podcast is to go take 30 seconds to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. Just search Age in Reverse, scroll about 3/4 of the way down, and write a review there. Not only does it let me know how you feel about the show, but it also helps me get the word out to more people. Thank you again for your time, and I will see you in our next episode.